And now we turn to God's Word, first from the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. And then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all of those Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. In the testimony of the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, the first 12 verses. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." And when they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, and until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening the treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their country by another road. This is the word of God. May you be blessed by the reading, the hearing, and the living of it. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, touch our hearts and our lives this day. Let your light shine within us, that it might shine from us. And grant that this thy servant might be faithful to your vision. In Christ's name, amen. Many of you know that I grew up out in the country on a farm. My family were farmers and remained so as long as they could, even after both my dad and my uncle got other employment and then continued to farm early in the morning and late into the night. I loved being on the farm. I loved being outside. The sunshine, the fresh air. Well, there were the pigs and the chickens and the cows mixed in with that fresh air. But there was also the smell of alfalfa freshly mown and waiting to be baled into those old-fashioned rectangular bales that weren't the gargantuous ones that they have now. Those bales, however, still provided, at least for me, quite a tug with a baling hook to get them moved where they needed to be. And I'm sure that I had help on the other end of that tug to get them stacked. One thing I loved about being out in the country was the night sky. Although where I lived, exactly 1 mile north of Cortland, and as you're going north on the left-hand side, on that corner, there was a pole light not far from the house that provided some challenge to seeing the fullness of the night sky. But sometimes, to get around that, I would drive 2 or 3 miles at night over to what we called our west place. A field, a lane through that field, and I would pull into that lane, stop the car, stand outside, and just be amazed. And with that amazement, look up to see the wonder, the splendor, the marvel of the Milky Way galaxy. You know, those dark, dark nights when you see that whole band, arch of stars. It seemed to me like there must have been a billion gazillion stars in the sky. As I've thought about billion gazillion, I decided to look up and do a bit of research to see what other estimates by those who are more skilled in counting the stars came up with. The Nine Planets website, and I'm sure there are many more where information could be obtained from, says that it appears that our Milky Way contains at least 100 billion stars, while other more accurate calculations put the results at 250 billion plus or minus 150 billion. Then the article goes on to say, if there are at least 100 billion galaxies in our universe, then that means there are over 1 billion trillion stars in the universe as well. But that is just the minimal estimate. Billion, trillion, billion, gazillion. Pretty close, since gazillion means a huge, unspecified number. I guess I wasn't far off for a high schooler. In some ways, it is kind of a bummer when you're filled with absolute awe about the splendor of the stars that you see, when you find out that a star is defined as any massive self-luminous celestial body of gas that shines by radiation derived from its internal energy sources. Duh. I remember those kind of definitions when I look up into the night sky. A star, a big ball of gas. But I move on. For me, I'm still in awe. And I think the stars bring wonder and splendor. When John H. Hopkins Jr. wrote the words and music for We Three Kings, I believe he had it right in saying, O star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, guide me to thy perfect light. The Epiphany lesson from Matthew tells a story of some other stargazers long ago. They were wise ones who came from the east seeking to find the infant Jesus. I believe they were wise seekers on a significant journey in their lives. One of the words or translations the Greek has for the wise ones can be translated as astrologers. That's the alternative. Often we call these seekers from the East magi. The only other place in the New Testament where that word is used, it is understood as a magician or sorcerer. Sometimes the Magi are called the Three Kings, although the word that is translated has nothing to do with kings, and there is no mention in the Bible of how many of these journey seekers there were. The message refers to these wise seekers as scholars. The New Interpreter's Bible Commentary explains that they were of a priestly class of Persian or Babylonian experts in the occult, such as astrology and the interpretation of dreams. We really don't know how many of these wise travelers there were. We normally picture those three, but the story really doesn't specify. There could have been 2 or 3 or 300. But we usually think of three because of the presentation of three gifts. The hymn writer of We Three Kings seems to have more influence over people's understanding of the number than what the influence of Scripture has. The Magi were on a journey, seeking for that which was beyond them, just like each of us in our own lives are still on a journey to find more meaning in life, to understand life just a little bit better, to still grow in our faith and our self-understanding. I want to just highlight a couple of lessons, well, maybe more than a couple, that I believe we gain from these wise seekers following a star to an unknown destination. One, the Magi, those wise ones, who were serious seekers, had been looking for signs. We don't know how long they had been looking, how long they had been observing the sky, seeking signs from the divine. Second, they were willing to venture out, to be open to change and exploration, to take a risk, to cross the boundaries they had known, to be open to new experiences and to new understandings. And because they were, they experienced the presence of the divine, the Holy One, in an unexpected place. Three, the Magi from another culture, another land, were worshipers of another faith. And yet the Bible talks about them, partially because this is a time when the expansion and knowing that Jesus was here not just for one certain people, but for the whole world. Matthew wants to acknowledge that. These Magi, these worshipers, Matthew's gospel says of them, that when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. When have you been overwhelmed with joy? And that when they went into the house, they saw Mary and the child, who was probably about 2 years old at this time, and they worshiped him. In the presence of the Christ child, they knew the deep desires of their hearts had been fulfilled, and they were overcome with joy. Four, the Magi were gift bearers to someone they didn't even know, to someone who lived far away, and they even took those gifts themselves instead of shipping them through the mail, we might think of. They came to the Christ child, opened their treasure chest, and they offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These wise seekers were gift givers and gift bearers. I would think that at the beginning of their journey, they might have thought they would end up in a royal palace where they would offer their gifts. But instead, according to Matthew, they find themselves in a common house with a young mother and a worried father, wondering what the next day will bring. As we celebrate this Epiphany, which the day of Epiphany was actually yesterday, but we are now in the season of Epiphany, season of light, season when we think about going out and being on mission and sharing that light with others. As we celebrate this Epiphany, Pastor Dennis and I would share with each of you a star word, reminding you of the way the Magi follow the star. Star words have been catching on during the past several years. Have any of you ever received a star word? So maybe a little bit of a new experience here. Star words are words randomly given, which are offered for thought, for contemplation, for guidance, for light as you journey through the year. The Episcopal Church of New Hampshire has shared some words about star words that I would share with you, some highlights. The Magi followed the star which led them to Jesus. Our creative prayer practice, and part of that could be meditating on a star word, can also lead us closer to Jesus. We can trust that God speaks to us in many ways as we seek God's presence. A star word can help us to look for God in our midst, change our perspective, and focus our attention amid all the distractions of daily life. In being given a star word chosen randomly, we are receiving a gift over which we have no control. With this gift, we are invited to receive God's grace and let go of our striving to do, to act, or to take over. They also offer ideas for praying with, or I would say contemplating with, thinking about. You don't feel like you have to go into a room, close the door, put your star word in front of you, and say a prayer. You can do that if you like, however. But in contemplating your star word, look up the definition of the word, even if you know it well. Learn about its etymology. What culture does it come from? How has its meaning changed over time? What does this word bring to mind as you contemplate? Does it recall any memories? How might God be speaking to you through the feelings and the stories this word evokes? Find this word or a synonym in the Bible. What does Scripture tell you? Does this word remind you of any other passages? And I also would add, be sure and put your star word where you see it once in a while, maybe on a mirror, maybe on your dresser, maybe on a counter, or maybe even put it in your billfold or in your purse where it just peeks out at you and you can think about it and not just ignore that it's there. I do want to say that the template for the star words came from someone else, not my creation. I wish I was that good with a computer and artistic. But I do want to give credit, although I don't know the name of the person or where it came from offhand. But Dennis and I would invite you to come forward, just like we do when we receive ashes on Ash Wednesday. Come forward in two lines down the center aisle and then fan back out the side aisles to go to your pew. Come forward to receive your star word. Hopefully, this star word will be of help in your journey. Our daughter, our granddaughter, loves Moan. You know Moan from Disney? And some author quotes a little bit of what was said by Maui to Moan. It's not just sails and knots. It's seeing where you're going in your mind and knowing where you're going by knowing where you've been. Hopefully this little star word will open something up of knowing where you're going during this coming year, and that you will be blessed by it.